he has put in justifying righteousness of it, put in us. The moment that we have it on the cross to justify legal imposition, but it's in exchange for our sinfulness before God, he has imputed unto us a righteousness that has been given us within our own hearts by the regeneration of God. It will surely believe among us that we have a righteousness that is not our own. It's a righteousness given us of God. So it will surely believe among us that everyone that Christ died for will be and are completely justified in the sight of God and will be justified in heart in regeneration by the grace of God. I hope that is clear in all of your minds, and that's what I believe, and that's my hope. But not only that, it's most sure believed among us that every individual that has been born of God's Holy Spirit, that there is an immortality, never ceasing life to the soul. We do not believe in the soul sleeping doctrine. We do not believe when a child of God lays down in death, that his soul lays down in his body and goes to sleep and lays there until the resurrection and sin will all be dressed in that final day. No, it will surely believe among us that holy part, that inner part, that divine part of that inner man, that divine nature that God has given you by the operation of his grace, as Christ formed in you the hope of glory, that divine righteousness of that inner man, the new man, created in the image of him, of that created him. You've got that divine gift of God. Whosoever is born of God do not commit sin. Carrying the divine principle of given within you and divine grace. And when that individual of their soul, when death comes to their body, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. When a child of God lies down in the form of death in this world, I believe that soul, that regenerated nature of the child of God, takes an angelic flight into the paradisical realm of God. I'm standing too long tonight. Brother, pray for me just a minute here. I'm going to quit. An old deacon one time, he just lost his precious companion, and he was so brokenhearted. And we were returning him from a service, and it was a rainy, cloudy day like we had today around here. And he was riding up the road, and he said, "Brother Darcy, somehow or another, I just can't get beyond the fact that when we lie down in death, that we won't know anything beyond that." He said, "The death, no, not anything." I said, "Yes, that's true. That's true. Our old bodies are dead. No, not anything." But he said, "Somehow or another, right now, my vision is clouded, and everything seems dim. I just can't pass beyond it." I said, "I know why you haven't been there yet. That's the reason, in a way, you can't go beyond that." But I said, "God's word is true. Let God be true, and never let a lie." I said, "Sir, I haven't been there yet myself, but let me recapture for a moment what his word says." And I hear the Bible student, a great man of God, I said, "If you're doubting whether or not we live on when death comes to our bodies here," I said, "can I refer you to the seventh from Adam, to wit that of Enoch?" I said, "Enoch walked with God, and it pleased God that he should not see death. And so God took him. He didn't only take him in spirit and soul, but he took him in body, my friend." And I said, "I'll give you another witness to wit that of Elijah. If God of heaven caught up Elijah, you know, the thing began to open up, and I began to preach to this brother on this, and I began to make other references concerning after the death of our Lord himself and his resurrection. Many of the saints rose from the dead, and they were seen about the city. And friends, I don't believe they went back to the grave. Now, I certainly believe this about Lazarus. Lazarus had to die again before Christ had not died and resurrected, because he is the first fruits of them which left the brother. You know, it sounds like that happened when he was dying on the cross, you know, but then you read a real close about that, it shows that this happened after his resurrection, and that fits all in there. And so these bodies of the saints arose up from the dead, and not only that, I believe when Stephen's over there in the book of Acts, when he was being stoned to death, that faithful deacon, as those stones were pressed upon his body and began to take his life. Stevens, my friend, looked up and saw the Lord there at the right standing. You know, he was seated in most instances, but in this sense, he rose up to welcome home the spirit of this dear martyr here. But, brother, you can't tell me that Stephen went into a graveyard of his soul. No, sir, they took him out and buried him, all right. Well, that soul of that regenerated man, I believe it was prompted right straight by angelic fire, right straight in the immediate presence of our God. Yes, sir, even Paul said, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I'm in a strait betwixt two. He was talking about as soon as death comes to this body, when life is absent from this body, then I'll be present with the Lord. And so, and not only that, the thief who was dying on the side of our work there, he says, this day shalt thou be with me in paradise. I don't believe he was with him in a graveyard. I believe he went with him that very day into his blessed kingdom. And so it's most surely believed among us, dear brethren, righteous in the sight of the Lord and the death of his saints. When the little child of God leaves this world, God, I know you're mourning about this, dear brethren, that you mentioned here tonight, and body is laying over yonder. And many of you stand tomorrow, probably at his funeral, and there will be tears of sorrow shed. And it should be among those that we love. But, dear beloved brethren, remember this. That's only the tabernacle. Yes, we know it, the house of the tabernacle. Of God eternal in the heavens, not made with hands. I most surely believe among us, dear brethren, not only will the soul take its angelic flight in the hour and article of death, but the great day will come, my friend, when these bodies that sleep in yon tomb. I don't care what it's been 10,000 years or how many it might be in all the earth. I tell you this, though the skin worms has devoured of this flesh of ours, this body of ours, yet in our flesh, I'll see him go to a man die, will live again. It most surely is among us, the bodies of the saints will be raised in that day incorruptible and walk the streets of gold. Brethren, as long as we can keep these wonderful things in mind and stored in our hearts and our minds, I believe it'll help us be united in a lot of other nightmares. I believe if I can keep the doctrine clear in my mind, it'll help me to be a more faithful member of my church. If I lose sight of what my Lord has done for me, his everlasting grace and his wonderful mercy, and I've got to be recommended and legalized to be a member of the church, I gotta be beat on the head over me, bottom of you go. I tell you, you're without motivation. But if you see Christ, if you see him in his blood, you see that one promise that he's given to all of us, dear brethren, and where we're gonna be with him after this life, in the glory of it all. We see what the Lord has done for us. Now, he paid a debt we couldn't pay. He's taken care of this situation. The love and the mercy and the pity and the compassion shed upon us. That is a great motivation to worship our God. Should I be so unfaithful? Should I be so unfaithful that I would not want to render service someday? Certainly we need to exhort God's children. It's most sure to believe among us that we must exhort them and call upon them for repentance, gospel repentance, obey the Lord, to repent and be baptized, to obey his commandments, keep his laws and his statutes, live good, clean, moral lives in this world. It's most sure to believe among us. Because we believe in the grace of God, it's no license for us to live ungodly this life. It should be the greatest encouragement to all of us to walk godly lives in this world because of what the Lord has done for us. But if all the righteousness we profess is based purely from a legalistic sense, I don't believe that's the proper motivation. But to see the Lord, things will surely believe among us that we've got the greatest reason in the world. And I believe if those principles are not the things that will hold us together, nothing else will. And brother, I'm going to say this to you to close. I hope to see some of you, maybe the rest of the weekend. problem energy. But this association is built from great and noble men that gave their lives for a great and noble cause. And I'm not here to idolize them or their memories in this sense. But I do feel that all of them have a great and deep obligation as ministers. I speak principally to you ministers. You have a greater obligation in your life that you should walk together. You could, by valuing one another, dividing asunder, and not being patient, and looking for the great truth of faith, dishonor all of your parents and fathers of the faith has left you a heritage here in this past land. God has been good. God has been good to this section of the land. Your faith is everywhere spoken now, throughout all the nations. Some of the strongest and best fathers are recognized among these people. I don't mean everything you do is perfect. I'm not saying that. But I believe all of us, and you have it. You have a great heritage handed down to us. And it should be most surely believed among us. We need to get our eyes not on what priest is going to be this, and who's going to be that, who's going to sit at the right hand or the left hand, or like the sons of Zebedee, maybe mothers, or maybe the church, and say, well, I want this preacher to sit at the right hand, this one at the left hand. Jesus said, it's not mine to give. It's the giving of those that are prepared. And every man should be saying, Lord, let me abide in the calling for which I've been called. Let me be God's little anything. Let me, above all things, uphold the faith, walk together in love. The unity. As I said last night, as I looked at the children around those families, there were about 20-something little children around that little small congregation. All of them were relatively young people, just a few of them. Most of them are all young. The other little children, some of those children, their eye sockets were filled with tears. They were shaking. Brother and I said, I told them, brother, and I said, you got a great responsibility laying on them. Not so much what you just do for yourself, but for these little ones coming. Your conduct of your life and the things you do now can last the rest of their lives. Be careful. Be careful. Don't try to have your way. What it has always been, most sure believed among us, that great men were willing to serve.